Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples chatting with Marvin Rodriguez from the Riley County Commission here. Covering all kinds of stuff here in Riley County government here. We've got Marvin for the hour. And recently, I know your fellow commissioner, the chair, Ron Wells, submitted a letter. He's the one that, I guess, drafted this thing here. But a letter to Governor Kelly's office here wanting an audit of the state here, a tax audit. This is to get money recouped back to the county level here because, as he has stated, he believes they've taken a lot of money from counties and weren't supposed to.
Right. There was an ad valorem tax that was supposed to come back. The state keeps some. We were supposed to get some, and slowly it evaporated. And it's been, 15 years or so. And now the counties don't get that money, neither do the municipalities, as they're supposed to. And that causes us to raise taxes, and then all of a sudden they put the tax lid on us. Okay, they should not have done it, in my opinion. That part of that money was legislated, was supposed to come back to the counties so they could operate. And I don't know why they did it, and that's what the audit was supposed to do, is to find out where it went and how come they did it. And now they're asking for $600 million for the schools, and I'm not sure where they're going to find it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes if they can't, and that was decided by the a study that came out of Texas that the Judicial Supreme Court said they need to do it, which if you read the state constitution, the judicial is supposed to do work on the legal side, not do the work that the legislature is supposed to do. So I'm kind of upset about that one too, that the judges should not try to legislate dollars. But they did, and everyone goes along with it. And now they've got this dilemma, and the letter that Ron sent was to ask the Laura Kelly, governor, to do an audit of what happened to the money, where it went, because it's $2 billion. And that could have, some of that, you know, went to each county, some counties a little bit more, some a little bit less. But it could have been well used here, and would affect the local taxes.
Yeah, and the likelihood that that money ever comes back is probably pretty slim to none, wouldn't you say?
It's probably even more slim than that.
Well, but obviously a good idea here, I think, in passing. But keeping those at the state level accountable. I mean that's a good idea anytime.
It is. It really is. And we should do that. And people should get after their legislators for things like that, because that affects them in the pocketbook here.
And, you mentioned the tax lid here. And that what a handicap that is when you have to raise taxes. And then I don't know what the tax lid is on you guys, how far you're allowed to go. But that really causes a predicament here when you're trying to stay under your budgets here.
It is, for your normal operations, it's tough. Now, technically, law enforcement, emergency services, you could do a little more. It's designed to allow you to do a little bit more with it than you would your normal operations. But that sometimes can get into a problem. Your small counties, they don't have much commercial. They don't have the ability to do what the larger counties do and the more affluent, so it really hamstrings them, and it's tough on the residents.
What are maybe some of the departments that really feel that the most?
Well, all of your normal operations are operations of employee wages, our streets, our roads, grass cutting, hazardous waste, the things like that go, how we do the landfill, all that's not emergency. And even health department is not considered that much of an emergency. So it would affect all of those things.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the K through 12 funding. You know, that we should be hearing debate about that, I would think, here in a few weeks. But, you know, that has an effect on the county level, too. I mean, a lot of taxes go to pay for public schools mm-hmm. here, and what they decide may have an impact on taxes levied there, I would imagine.
Yeah, because as you know, school boards raise their funds, they need more here, and if they don't have enough, they're going to go to the state and try to lobby for more, and it just keeps rolling on. It happens to all the way from K to 12th grade to universities, because they're after money also. But if your student population goes down in some of the big universities like K-State, well, they're going to need more money regardless of whether the students are there or not. And so they're going to have a hard time.
Yeah. Well, I know we spoke last week with Representative Tom Phillips, and he mm-hmm. mentioned there's already discussion happening there in Topeka about some Republicans wanting to rewrite the school funding formula. Now, I know some Republicans want to see that, and others are not so sure. They want to just get this whole mess out of the way. What do you see that conversation going? Should they rewrite the formula, do you think?
I haven't looked at what they're trying to do yet. But I would always say, yeah, you should rewrite something. And part of it has to do with what the requirements are, and they change, what you need for this or that. I know that if you looked at the schools 50 years ago, most of the benefits that they get now weren't there. And with all the new requirements of having for every so many grade school kids that can't speak English, they have to have so many interpreters. And that keeps, you know, that's another one that we didn't do 50 years ago. And so just this lot of things have yeah. changed.
Well, and in the smaller counties out west, there's a lot of counties that have, you know, these little small mm-hmm. school districts here. And well, those communities don't want to see those go away. That's their livelihood. You know, where do you cut money? I don't know. That's the tough question.
Yeah, some of them are combining, and they're becoming area-wise, they're a large area, but not that many students.
Yeah, and living in Nebraska, I saw that all the time. A lot of schools consolidate, mm-hmm. they combine here. Pretty soon you have seven former schools going, you know, 40 to 50 miles to go to one central location,
right.
And that gets a little hairy for some people, and because it's difficult. It's a long travel distance.
Yeah. So the transportation cost, all sorts of things go on it, and they try to maintain a good program, but it's sometimes difficult.
Yeah. Again, I'm speaking with Marvin Rodriguez here, Riley County Commission. If you have any questions, you can give us a call here at 537-1350. What else do you guys have coming up here? You got another meeting, Thursday?
Yes.
Any idea what you'll be looking at on that agenda? I don't know if that's out yet.
Well, it is. I looked at it, and I just it didn't cross my mind right now. Maybe I should bring some of those agendas when I come, but it's under the normal. We have a kind of a set schedule that this week we talk about this with these different entities, and then we mm-hmm. Other groups in the county, then the next time it's the other part, and it breaks it out about three or four, you know, we divide up the county directors. They come some one meeting, some the next meeting, some the next meeting, as long as we get them in within the month, and they keep us informed.
Well, one thing I'll ask you about this. We've had some crazy weather this last month and a half, a lot of snow. It seems like every middle of the week we're dealing with ice. The work of the public works crews, I mean, they've done from my opinion, they've done a pretty good job on these county roads. What would you say?
Yeah, they have, and we've used a little more salt and a little more sand, and so one year we'll do a lot of it, and next year we won't. So, but they're doing a fantastic job being out there.
And keep that all stocked up. I mean, that's no cheap task, I'd imagine.
No, we have to keep enough to to say that we plan for the worst winter, and we get enough sand and enough salt for it. And then some winters we don't hardly use any. And then we don't buy that much next year.
Yeah, so, I mean keeping the stock going, that's a difficult task there. But keeping the equipment in good shape. We haven't had any reports of accidents or anything like that.
No, we've done well with that. We did the fire, rural fire did acquire a new bulldozer. It's not new, but it's from the forestry department, U.S. Forestry. And we didn't pay anything for it. We just got it. Now we have to take care of it. And we are purchasing a new flat trailer for it so that it can be taken quickly to a fire, or we need to move logs up from where a creek piled up stuff and we need to get it out of the way. And we can do that now with that. The department out there at the shops does have an older flatbed or drop flatbed, so to put on heavy equipment. But theirs are getting pretty old, so I think if we get this one here, we'll kind of interchange with them, between two of them, we can better use the equipment on it and make it come out okay.
Yeah, that's about a $26,000 purchase.
Yeah, normally they're brand new, about $50,000 or $60,000. So I think we got a pretty good deal. We'll have to make a few little changes, paint this, paint that, you know, check the tires. But I think it's a good buy because the one out at the shops right now is old.
Yeah, that's what I gathered here from that story last week. Well, let's take a break. We got more with Marvin Rodriguez coming up. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.